All right, so we'll say good morning. All right, so let's get started. So we're going to pick up on Daf Samech Amud Aleph, four lines down from the top, Rava Amar. So if you remember again, so the Gemara, Samech Amud Aleph, four lines down from the top. So if you remember again, in yesterday's Daf, the Gemara spoke about, that we're in the middle of the sugya, of Tabas She'in Aleha Chosam, with a ring that does not have a signet on it. So the Mishnah again said that this is one of these things that halacha lemaisa, if you wore it out on Shabbos, you're not chayiv chatos, but you would be chayiv midrabanon. So the Gemara quoted a conflicting brisa that seemed to indicate that whether a ring has a chosam or doesn't have a chosam, it's considered to be a tachshit. So how do we resolve the Mishnah with the Braisa? So the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Litzdadin Katani. So Rava explained that Litzdadin Katani literally means that you have to view this as two different cases. Yesh Alea Chosam, Tachshit. Yesh Alea Chosam, Tachshit the Ish. Ein Alea Chosam, Tachshit the Isha. If the ring has a signet, has a seal on it, then that is considered to be a Tachshit of a man. And that's the view that's reflected in the Braisa. When the Braisa says it's Tachshit of a man. Ein Alea Chosam, if it doesn't have a signet on it, Tachshit the Isha. Then it becomes ultimately an ornament of a woman. So therefore, when the Braisa said that whether it has a Chosam, whether it doesn't have a Chosam, it's considered to be a Tachshit. So again, if it has a Chosam, then it's a Tachshit of a man. Doesn't have a Chosam, Tachshit of a Isha. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Amar. Rav Nachman says the following. Tumah Shabbos Karamis. So Rav Nachman comes along and says, I don't understand. Essentially what you're doing is, you're taking a Mishnah in Shabbos, and you are contrasting it with a Braisa that deals with the laws of ritual purity and impurity. So Gemara says, comparing Shabbos with Tumah is apples and oranges. Shabbos at Tumah Karamis. The Gemara says, one simple reason, the criteria, what's wrong? We do it a lot.
Yeah, we do it a lot.
All right, yeah, that's a different shayla. All right, but at least here the Gemara chooses to ask. I mean, the Gemara is essentially saying that really is apples and oranges. The Gemara says the following: Tumah, kli maisa amar achmana. When it comes to Tumah, so the criteria again for Tumah is that it has to be a kli. Let's do that once more. Tumah shavus kramis. Tumah kli maisa amar achmana. So the Gemara says, when it comes to Tumah, so what allows an item to be Mekabel Tumah? It's if it satisfies the criteria of a Kli. And therefore, again, one can make the argument that the Tabas, the ring, whether it has a Chosam, doesn't have a Chosam, could satisfy the criteria, of a Kli. So therefore, however, Shabbos, Mishum Masui Amarachmana. So you're both saying, what the Gemara is saying is like this. Two different criteria. When it comes to Tumah, in order for an object to be Mekabel Tumah, it has to become a Kli. So one can make the cogent argument that whether the ring has a signet or doesn't have a signet, ultimately is considered to be a Kli. However, Shabbos Mishum Masri Amar Achmana. However, when it comes to Shabbos, the issue that we're trying to deal with is it considered a burden or not? So the Gemara says, Ein Alea Chosam Tachshit. Therefore, what we come out with is the following. If the ring does not have a signet on it, it is considered to be a tachshit. Yesh alea chosam, but if it has a signet on it, then it's a masui, then it's considered to be a burden. So we'll say, what does this mean practically? So what the Gemara is saying is like this. If the ring does not have a chosam on it, does not have a signet, then it's considered to be an ornament. Now, or a piece of jewelry. Now, does that allow it to be worn out? The answer is no. Why? Because that goes back to our Mishnah. Because the Mishnah was listing a whole variety of things that, although technically speaking, satisfy the criteria of a tachshit, right? They're an ornament, but there's a concern that what? Omen will come to take it off in order to show it to a friend. That's why midoraisi you could wear it, midrabanan you cannot. However, says the Gemara, if it has a chosam, then you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos at all. Why? Because again, remember, the idea of a chosam was what? Is that you would, stamp. You're right, you would stamp letters, which obviously something you can't do on Shabbos anyway. Therefore, it doesn't have the status of a tachshit. It's called a masui, it's called a burden. And therefore, if one were to actually wear that on Shabbos, one would violate the doraisa. One would actually be chayav v'chatos.
Diamonds don't count.
Yeah, it was a good try. But, alright. So it says the Gemara, v'lo b'machat shein l'kuva. Next item in the Mishnah. A woman can't go out with a needle that does not have a hole. So the Gemara says, well, l'may chazio, what exactly is the purpose of a needle that doesn't have a hole? Right? Meaning, what can you do with this? Amar Rav Yosef, ho'il v'isha ogeres ba'sairos. So Rav Yosef says that a woman collects her hair with this needle. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Ogeres basara hayotzi chutz lekishureha korachta saviv hamachat v'tocheves hamachat b'safka mitachteh shal yirasara. So what would a woman do with this? So stray hairs. If a woman had stray hairs that were coming out of her hair covering, she would wrap those hairs around the needle and put the needle into her hair. Way of collecting, sorry? A hairpin. Amalei Abaye, v'tehevi kibiris tohora v'tishtri. So Abaye says, if that's the case, that it's there to keep stray hairs, then the Gemara says it should be, biris is a garter, right? A woman would use like a garter to keep her stockings up. So the assumption is a woman would not take that off on Shabbos because she would not, when she was out, because she would not want her stockings to fall down. So the Gemara says anything that a woman wears in order to keep something else up, by definition, you should be able to go out with it on Shabbos because ultimately there's an incentive for her to leave it on. V'tishdari shvimuter ela tirgama rav ada, rather ela tirgama rav ada narsha'a kamei de rav Yosef. Rather, the Gemara says therefore there must be a different explanation. Hoil v'isha cholekes v'sara sara. So the Gemara says, no. You know what you do with this mecha, with this mechat she'en in a kuba? What you do with this needle that does not have the hole in it? A woman uses it to part her hair. The Rabbi will say, the Gemara is going to say the following. B'shabes l'may chazia. But if a woman is using this needle to part, she uses it like a comb. If a woman is going to use this needle to part her hair, then what good is it on Shabbos? Now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Hare b'shabes eno cholekes sara. So we'll say, we'll get to this sugi. It's actually very interesting about combing one's hair on Shabbos. So the Gemara assumes over here that combing one's hair is problematic on Shabbos because of gozes, because one may come to pluck out hairs on Shabbos, which is problematic. So the Gemara, we're not going to get into it now, we'll get into the sugis later on. But the Gemara says, so if the whole point of the pin is to go ahead and part her hair, then what Shabbos purpose doesn't have? So Amarav, Surah says like this, Kas shel zahav yishla arosha. Because this particular needle without the hole has like a golden plate on its tip. Bechol cholekes basara. During the week she uses it as a comb to part her hair. B'Shabbos manicha kineged padachta. But on Shabbos, women would often wear this as an ornament, like a hairpin. They would just put in their hair, and the gold plate would be right by their forehead. So therefore, the Gemara is saying over here, is like, so just follow the logic here, because remember, it sounds strange to us. The Gemara is trying to find the permitted purpose for this on Shabbos, yet the Mishnah says it's usur. Because remember, all the items listed in the Mishnah, midda'oraisa, a woman should be permitted to wear them out on Shabbos. It's only midrabanan that we say there's an issue because she may come to take it off and show her friends. So therefore, this mechad she'ina nekuba, this particular needle that doesn't have the hole, midrabanan, she should be able to wear it out because it serves an ornamental purpose. Again, during the week, she's using it to make a part in her hair. On Shabbos, she's using it because the ornament that sits on top of that needle, the little gold plate, she would put opposite her forehead. But halacha lemaisa, the Mishnah says she can't wear it out on Shabbos. Why? Because again, out of the general concern that she may take it out, come to show it to her friend, and they come to carry it dalet amos and rishus harabim. Mishnah. Lo yetzei ha'ish b'sandal hamesumer. So a man may not walk out on Shabbos with the sandal hamesumer. Now we'll discuss exactly what this means now. Look at Rashi. Sandal hamasumer shal itu. This is a wooden sandal. Vitochvin masmaros lemala lechazek hatachton ima elyon. So I said the best way I can give you the image of this is like if you can imagine cleats, right? So just same idea. So if you take cleats, but they had like a sandal that had cleats. So the way it worked is they had two pieces of wood that were hammered together with nails, but the nails extended down past the bottom sole. So he says, I'm sorry? Correct. It's for traction. Shall eitu v'tochlin masmaros l'ma lechazek atachton ima'elyon. And they would keep, again, the upper piece of wood together with the lower piece of wood. So he says, he writes over actually, ha'eitzim ha'or shalamalim and v'yesh lo shtei pios v'tochli brag labo. So actually, Rashi says, as in a different girsa, that it had an upper layer of leather and a bottom layer of wood, and the wood and the nails would go through the wood, but again, as opposed to normally you would think you would blunt the sharp side of the nail, that's not the case over here. The sharp side of the nail would still extend downwards. Ubigimara mefarish v'tochei ragla, but v'yishlo shtei pios v'tochei ragla, bo gimara mefarish my time because so one of the interesting pieces about this sandal is apparently, I guess saves you a couple of seconds in the morning as well, you could put it on either way, meaning you could, the shoe could be there's no back and there's no front. You could wear it either way. And also, we'll see, you could actually also wear it right and left. Okay, so this is called sandal hamasumer. You can't wear your sandal hamasumer out on Shabbos. Fine. Velo biyachit. Furthermore, you can't go out of the house with one shoe. It's good advice in general, but especially on Shabbos. Velo biyachit bizman she'in beraglo maka. But that's only assuming that you don't have a clearly identifiable wound on your foot. So, meaning if you're wearing a cast, then obviously you can go out with one shoe. But because that's recognizable. The concern, we'll look at Rashi for just a moment. V'lo b'yachid, v'lo b'sandal yachid, b'zman she'im raglo maka. B'shas Yerushalmi Farish, t'lo l'chashdei, d'tolin l'chavra tusei kanfei. There's a concern that people will suspect that you're carrying your other shoe. Right, veloshen rabusei dilma mechayichi aleh v'shakil v'shalif leh omemati leh biyadeh. So, interestingly enough, so the Gemara says, the other possibly, Arashi because of Yerushalmi. So two concerns. Either one concern is that people will be choshe, people will suspect you that you're carrying your other shoe. Or if you go out with one shoe, then people may make fun of you, and you may come to therefore go ahead and what? Take off the other shoe and carry it. So the Gemara, the Mishnah says, but this is all assuming bizman she'in baraglo maka. This is all assuming that you don't have a recognizable wound on the other foot, because if that's the case, then A, no one's going to suspect you of carrying your other shoe, and what? No one's going to make fun of you for wearing one shoe, and therefore there's no concern that you may come to take it off and carry your tefillin. V'lo b'tefillin. You can't go out with your tefillin on Shabbos. I will say, we'll discuss this. We'll discuss what the novelty in this ruling is. V'lo b'kamiya. You can't go out with the kamiya. We discussed the kamiya already. The kamiya is the amulet. Rashi says, shekosvin v'tonin l'refua. That people write on it. People write, they would write different things. Different, not incantations. But people used it for refua. People used it for ayin hara. V'lo b'kamiya b'zman she'emin amumcha. You can't go out on Shabbos with a kamiya that's not from an expert. Now, what makes a kamiya from an expert? If it works. Right? So if the kamiya, right, so you can't go out with a kamiya, we'll discuss how exactly you know that, but you can't go out with a kamiya that's not provenly effective on Shabbos. V'lo b'shirion, you can't go out. Shirion literally is a coat of mail. A coat of mail. We'll see, we know what mail is. You know, it's when they used to wear armor, right? So it was the Under Armour, right? Meaning it was the more flexible stuff that went out was under the armor. So you can't go out with a coat of mail. Velo bekasdo, you can't go out wearing a helmet on Shabbos. Velo bemagafayim. Magafayim are shin guards, which were also part of the armor getup. V'im yotza, and if you went out with any of this, eno chayiv chatos. You're not chayiv chatos. So we'll say, because the common denominator is all of these items, the mail, the helmet, and the shin guards, technically speaking, they're categorized as clothing. So because they're categorized as clothing, if you went out with it on Shabbos, you can't be chayiv biblically, but midrabanan it's also for reasons we'll discuss.
So would you be allowed to wear them if you're a soldier?
No, it says, oh, so we'll see. We're definitely not talking about soldiers, and definitely not talking about wartime. There are people who might have just worn this around, just stum. So the Gemara is like this. Sandal hamasumer my time. So the Gemara begins, what is this sandal hamasumer? Right? What is this case of the sandal with the nails? My time. So why is this usur? So we'll say, the Gemara gives three different versions of the episode that occurred. But let me just tell you the common denominator. The common denominator is all of, well, let's read this first. My time, Amar Shmuel, Shilviya Gzirahoyu. This was a time of decrees. Now, interestingly enough, if you look, I don't know if you have it, different versions of the Gemara have it. Do you have Hagos? If you have Hagos, it's Yunim in your Gemara, you should have a little hay there. Right? So the little hay says Hashmad. Hashmad, interestingly enough, according to many of the Rishonim, this is actually one of the areas of the Gemara that was censored. Because what the Gemara originally said was Shelefi Hashmad. During the time of terrible decrees, it's a reference to Hadrianic persecution, right? So the Emperor Hadrian, again, post Second Temple era. Remember when the Romans first were persecuting the Jews, it was political persecution. Religious persecution does not set in until after the destruction of the Second Beis Hamikdash, because it was only then that the Romans understood that they were not going to crush the Jewish people. That's when intense religious persecution occurs. That's when you have the Asaru Gemalchus, the 10 martyrs. That all begins under the Emperor Hadrian. So this is understood by most Rishonim to be referring to Hadrianic persecution. It was a time of Shmad, a time of persecution. And there were Jews who were hiding in a cave. Va'amru, and they said one rule when hiding in the cave, ha'nichnasi kanex, anyone could come in, va'ayotzi al-yetzi, but you can't go out. You can't go out. Meaning, there was a concern that if you're going to have constant traffic in and out of the cave, what's going to happen? You're going to be discovered. So whoever wants to come in could come in, but you gotta be willing to ride out the persecution here in the cave. So what happened? Nehapach sandalo shel echad mehem. So what ended up happening is someone wore their sandal backwards. Because as we pointed out before, this sandal hamasumar, I don't know exactly what shoe, but you could put your foot in either way. But the problem is the shoe was only shaped in one direction. So if you wore it backwards, it made almost backward footprints. So they looked on the ground. Somebody was wearing their sandal in backwards. And they looked on the ground and it looked like what? Somebody had left the cave. Kisvurim heim echad mehen yatsa. And they thought this meant that someone left. What happened? V'ra'u oivim. It started a panic because now that people thought the enemy is going to discover our hiding place. V'achshav bayin aleim. And they're going to come find us. Dochku zebazeh. It set off a massive panic. They began pushing each other. When it says pushing, it really means trampling each other. V'hargu zeh yosem imash shahargu bohem oivim. And they ended up killing each other, right? Now, again, remember, what it's talking about over here is, if they trampled each other, if they're wearing this sandal hamasumar, and you start trampling people, you're going to kill them with the spikes of the sandal. So what ended up happening, someone wore the sandal in backwards, they set off a panic because they thought someone left, they started pushing, trampling each other, and they ended up killing each other. And the tragic part is, the Gemara says, they ended up killing more of one another than what? Than the Romans killed of them. So the Gemara says, as a result of that episode, Chazal were gozer that you can't wear a sandal hamasumer on Shabbos. Rabbi Eloi ben Elazar Omer, so we'll say another version of the story. Rabbi Eloi ben Elazar says, "Bema'ara hayu yoshvin." So they were sitting in a cave. V'shamu kol me'al gabi hama'ara. Now in this version of the story, they heard footsteps on top of the ma'ara. And they thought that the Romans had found their hiding place. Same idea, etc. Now, we'll say, whether those footsteps were in fact footsteps of the Romans or not, the story doesn't tell us, but the point is it set off a panic. And ultimately, they ended up trampling and killing each other more than the Romans killed them. Third version of the story. The Beis Hakneses Hayush Yoshvin. They were hiding out in the shul. V'shamu kol me'achori Beis Hakneses, and they heard a sound from outside of the shul. Kisvurin Hayu, and they thought Shabo Aleim Oivim, that the enemies had found their hiding place. Dachgu Zebazeh, they began to trample one another. V'hargu Zeezeh, and they began to kill one another. Yosemimash Shahargu Bahena Oivim, more than the Romans killed of them. Ba'osa Shah Amru. Again, the truth is, so there are three different versions as to the details of the story, but the basic details are the same. During Hadrianic persecution, the Jews are hiding. The panic is set off either in the first version by the actual sandal hamasumar itself, in the second two versions because they hear footsteps. Sof maisa, the panic sets off a panic. They trample each other and they end up killing each other in massive numbers because of the sandal hamasumar. As a result of this episode, Chazal said, no sandal hamasumar on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. If that's the case, then why not prohibit sandal hamasumar all of the time? Right? Why not say sandal hamasumar is usher even during the week? To which the Gemara says, Maisa. Because since the episode happened on Shabbos, so Chazal limited their gezeira to Shabbos. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Biyom Tov Lishteri. If that's the case, then what? If that's the case, then why don't you say it's Mutter on Yom Tov? Right, so remember, so if you're going to say that Chazal made a very limited gezeira, reflective of the circumstances in which these tragic episodes occurred. So Chazal said, therefore, again, on a Shabbos, you can't wear sandal hamasumer because the original episode occurred on Shabbos. So if that's the case, again, the same way that it's permitted during the week to wear sandal hamasumer, it should be permitted during the week to wear. It should be permitted on Yom Tov also. Alama Tanan, again, why does it state Amud Beis? Alama Tanan, Mishalchim Kelim B'Yom Tov. You could send someone a gift of utensils. We'll get to this in Maseches Beitzah. You could send someone a gift of utensils on Shabbos, bein tefurin, bein shein tefurin, whether they're stitched or not stitched. Abalo sandal hamasumer, but you cannot send someone on Yom Tov a sandal hamasumer. Velo minol sheino tefur, and you can't send someone a shoe that's not stitched. Now Rashi says, mishalchin that Rashi first. Rashi alma lav barma minale b'Yom Tov hudakatani hasam kol shene osam b'Yom Tov mishalchin also. But I will say the fact that you can't send someone a gift of a sandal hamasumer on Yom Tov indicates that what? That it's not usable on Yom Tov. The only types of gifts you can send someone on Yom Tov is a gift that's usable. The fact that you can't send a sandal hamasumer indicates a sandal hamasumer is not usable. So we see from here that what? You can't wear a sandal hamasumer on Yom Tov either. So what's going on? The Gemara just said, the Chazal's gzero is only on Shabbos because the episode happened on Shabbos. Therefore you can wear a sandal hamasumer during the week. If that's the case, you should be able to wear a sandal hamasumer on Yom Tov also. And yet we see from here that what? You can't wear a sandal hamasumer on Yom Tov. To which the Gemara says, what's going on? So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, B'Shabbos my time. Why were Chazal gozer on Shabbos? And I will say, again, the Gemara recognizes the fact that the answer that the Gemara gave was a little bit lacking. Right? The notion that we're only going to make the Gezerah on Shabbos because that's when the episode occurred, that answer leaves us wondering exactly what's going on over here. So let me tell you the real reason. B'Shabbos my time. Why were we really gozer on Shabbos? Di'ika kinufya. Because you know what happens on Shabbos? There's a gathering. People gather together on Shabbos. So you're supposed to remember, why did the tragedy occur in the three stories? Because people were gathered together. Therefore, when were Chazal gozer on wearing a sandal hamasumer? Only on times where there were gatherings of people. Because there was a concern when you had large gatherings of people, if for some reason there was a panic that was set off, Chas Hashem, that episode could repeat itself and people would trample each other with those cleat sandals. So you might say, one second. B'Yom Tov Nami Ika Kinofya. Right? And excuse me, B'Yom Tov, that's not a question, it's a statement. B'Shabbos my time with Ika Kinufya, B'Yom Tov Nami Ika Kinufya. So now we understand. So Chazal also extended their Gzera to Yom Tov. Right? Why? Because on Yom Tov there were also large gatherings of people. As opposed to during the week, when you don't usually have these large gatherings of individuals, therefore Chazal did not extend their gzeira of Sandal Hamasumer to weekdays. So what comes down is the following. Therefore, what the Gemara is adding is an additional component. That the gzeira of Sandal Hamasumer, the gzeira that Chazal made, that she can't wear Sandal Hamasumer on Shabbos, the reason it's limited to Shabbos is not just simply because the original episodes happened on Shabbos. It's limited to Shabbos, why? Because what were Chazal concerned about? Chazal were concerned about situations in which you have large gatherings of people. If we're going to allow them to wear sandal hamasumer, God forbid, if panic is set off, they'll come to trample each other, Hashem, kill each other. Therefore, the gzeir of Chazal is limited to times when there are large gatherings of people. But Shabbos is not the only time there are large gatherings of people. What else do you have large gatherings? Also on Yom Tov. So because that, the gzeir of sandal hamasumer also applies on Yom Tov as well. They weren't large. Not like Shabbos and Yom Tov. Not in one concentrated area. In one room. Market days, a lot of people around. Right? A lot of people around, but not concentration in one particular area. So the Gemara says, that's the case. Tainis Sibor, Ika Kinofya. What about a Tainis Sibor? Right? What about a public fast day? So public fast day, again, you also have large gatherings of people. So the Gemara says, Lissar. So why don't you go ahead and ask the Sandal HaMasumer on that day? Naisa kihava bekinufya di isura, hocha kinufya dehera hava. So the Gemara says the truth is Chazal limited their gzeira to the original episodes in which the events occurred when people were gathered. Literally translated, they were gathered in a gathering of isra. Which, what does that mean? Isra malacha. That they only limited their gzeira to days on which people are gathered and there is an isra malacha. But on days again like a Tana Sib where there is no isra malacha, Chazal did not extend their gzeira. So the Gemara says, "Va'afilu Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, the Amar lo asru ella biyardin ubisvina ukemaiseh shahaya." So I'll say, interestingly enough, even according to Chanina ben Akiva, who said that there are times when Chazal made a gzeira, and the gzeira only applies literally to the exact circumstances which necessitated the gzeira. So he brings an interesting example. He quotes over here. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi is afilu l'Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva. Beperek Chomer beKodesh gabe nose mechatos ve'efer chatos biyardin ubesvina shenimtze kezayis milameis tachov v'karkosh shel svina v'nitmu. So he said there was once an episode where they were transporting ashes of the Parah Aduma over water, over the Jordan River, and it turned out that there was a kezayis of corpse, a kezayis of mace that was stuck on the bottom of the boat. But I will say what that did essentially was what? It rendered the ashes of the Parah Aduma unfit. And I will say, when you disqualify ashes of Parah Aduma, that is a very, very, very big deal. Because remember, Parah Aduma is quite rare, and when you were able to find one, you were able to go ahead and make this concoction that was, so to lose a batch of Parah Aduma ashes was exceptionally significant. So Rashi quotes over the Ka'amri Rabbanon, the Gazu Shalo Ya'avir Mechatas Besvina, v'lo ala gesher, v'lo yishitim al pnei amayim. So as a result of that, Chazal made a gzera. What's the gzera? No transporting Parah Aduma ashes over water. Mm-hmm. No transport. Essentially, what Chazal are trying to do is they're trying to minimize the risk of losing a Parah Aduma batch. So you can't transport mechatos on a boat, or for that matter, over a bridge, or if you're swimming, you can't swim at them across the water. Echad Yardin, whether it's the Jordan, the Echad Sharnaros, or any other body of water. So as a result of that episode, Chazal said essentially, if you want to become Tar from Tami Mace, what do you have to do? You have to come to the Parah Aduma. The Parah Aduma doesn't come to you. So you can't transport it over any body of water in any way. Upalig Rabbi Chanina, Rashi quotes over here, Rabbi Chanina argued on this, Va'amar, lo asru ela biyardin ubesvina. Rabbi Chanina felt that the rabbinic enactment was only reflective of the exact circumstances in which this particular episode occurred. So according to Rabbi Chanina, the only real iser was to go ahead and transport it over the Jordan River and in a boat. The lo begesher didn't apply to crossing over a bridge. Ushar naros, the gzeira shegazu machmas ma'ura, Ein lahem ligzor ela me'ina ma'ura. Now, both said this is reflective of a fundamental episode. What Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva is saying is the following: that whenever Chazal make a gzeira because of a particular episode, the gzeira only covers what circumstances that mirror that exact episode. The Rabbanon disagree, and the Rabbanon say very often a particular episode is a catalyst for rabbinic gezeira, but the rabbinic gezeira often becomes much more expansive than that particular episode. So herein lies a particular test case. So you have this case of the Parah Aduma, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, the rabbinic gezeira is only for that exact case. So it only covers the Jordan River, and it only covers going in a boat. But any other manner of transporting ashes of Parah Aduma over water is fine. The Rabbanon say no, it's much more expansive. So the Gemara says like this: even according to Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, who holds lo asru ela biyardin ubesvino kemaise shahaya. See, even according to Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, who holds that when again Chazal make takanos as a result of a particular episode, that their takana is limited to circumstances that mirror that exact episode, he says hani mili yardin the shiny mishar noros. That's only over here because the truth is the Jordan River is different than other rivers. Aval yom tov v'shabes ki hadodininu. So what's what the Gemara is saying is like this. The Gemara wants to suggest maybe a Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva would hold that, for example, in this case of Sadol Hamasumer, that the Gezer should be limited to what? To Shabbos. To Shabbos, and should not include Yom Tov, because the original episode happened on Shabbos, and therefore, Halacha Lemaisa, it's limited to Shabbos. So the Gemara wants to suggest that even Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva would agree that this gzira should apply to Yom Tov as well. Why? Because Disnan, Ein Ben Yom Tov L'Shabbos, Ela Ochal Nefesh Bilvad. Because in reality, Yom Tov is exactly like Shabbos in every single respect, except one, and that's Ochel Nefesh. See, even Rabbi Chanina ben Akiva, when he held in the case of the Parah Aduma, he felt that's because the Jordan River is different than other rivers. So to start going and apply this gzeira from the Jordan to other rivers is not necessary. You can't necessarily do that. But to make a jump from Shabbos to Yom Tov is not a jump at all, because Yom Tov and Shabbos are exactly like each other in 99% of situations, with the one exception of Ochel Nefesh. So the Gemara says the following. So we'll say, what we have so far is like this. What we have is the rabbinic gezeira of Sandal HaMasumer. What we've established is that Halacha Lemaisa is a result of this particular episode that happened, one of the three versions of the story. But the common denominator is that people trampled each other, killed each other because of the Sandal HaMasumer. it's only limited to times of kinufya, times of where there's gathering. But not any gathering. It has to be a gathering that's reflective of the original gathering, which was the gathering when there was an Isra Malacha. Therefore, we know that Shabbos, how do you apply it to Yom? Why would you apply it to Yom Tov? Because Yom Tov is just like Shabbos in every other respect. Fine. So the Gemara says the following. Amar Rav Yehuda Meshmua. Now what the Gemara is going to do is the Gemara is going to qualify what type of sandal hamasumer exactly we are talking about. This is only true if the nails are in the sandal to hold the sandal together. But if they're there, let's say, for decorative purposes, then mutter. Then that's fine. So now what we're going to see is the same way that the gzeira of sandal hamasumer does not apply outside of the time that is not reflective of the original episode, which means Shabbos and Yom Tov. So too, again, the type of sandal must also be the kind of sandal that people were wearing during that episode. And the type of sandal that happened in these episodes was when people were wearing the sandal hamasumer, not for decorative purposes, but for utilitarian purposes, to hold the sandal together, to go on and serve as the type of cleats, the kamalanoi. So how many nails are in a sandal when it's just for decorative purposes? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chamish Bazeh v'Chamish Bazeh. Rabbi Yochanan says 5 nails in each sandal. That was the amount of nails that people would put in for decorative purposes. Anything more than that would have been what? Utilitarian in nature. Rabbi Chanina says 7 Bazeh v'Sheva Bazeh. 7 in this one, 7 in that one. Amali Rabbi Yochanan Rav Shman Bar Abba. So Rabbi Yochanan said to Rav Shman Bar Abba, Asav Lucha. Let me explain this to you. Lididi Shtayim mikan, ushtayim mikan, va'achos betarsiosov. So Rabbi Yochanan said like this. Let me explain to you where I get my 5. My 5 is like this. 2 on each side, and 1 nail was there to tie the straps of the sandal around. The Rabbi Chanina, according to Rabbi Chanina, who held 7, he had gimel mikan, v'gimel mikan, va'achos betarsiosov. 3 on this side, 3 on that side, and 1 to tie the straps around. So much like this. Nesve. Gemara raises a kasha. Sandal hanota. We'll say sandal hanota is an interesting case. Rashi says sandal hanota. It's almost right across in Rashi. Shetachon shalo eno shove sheav mitzadze bedak mitzadze ukeshadoris nota letzad hadak b'tzarach lagbiu sheishave letzad shignedo. This is interesting. So what's a sandal hanota? It has an uneven sole. A lot of us suffer from that. But this has an uneven sole of the shoe. So what happens? So if you have an uneven sole, then ultimately when you walk, obviously you're going to tilt. So how do you fix that? You build up, we'll call it the more indented side with nails. Right? See, if you build it up with nails, that makes it level. So sandal hanota, oselo sheva. So you could put up to 7 nails in an uneven sole. And an uneven sole. Divi Rabbi Nasa. Now, what's the chap over here? I'm sorry?
That's not.
No, but he's saying, but that's not called sandal hamasumer. That's his point. Putting nails in there for the sake of evening out. Exactly. For the sake of evening out the sandal hamasumer. That's not called sandal hamasumer. That's called evening out the shoe. What you're seeing over here, what the Gemara is trying to point out over here is that sandal hamasumer is a very specific type of sandal that was made in a particular way. But if you're adding in the nails there for other purposes, that's not called sandal hamasumer.
So these nails protrude through the bottom?
They protrude through the bottom. Yeah, they have to protrude through the bottom. Otherwise, how are they making the shoe even?
So then,
and also how people have gotten sampled.
I'm sorry?
They
can end up correct, meaning that's the whole chapter the Gemara is trying to show over here is you can actually end up having, it's just like you could say the same thing with the sandal that's done for decorative purposes. The nail could also trample people. What the Gemara is pointing out, however, is that the sandal hamasumer was a very specific type of sandal. Very specific type of sandal. Even though you're right, the logic of the gzeira could still apply to these as well. So the Gemara says like this. So if you had a sandal hanota, osel shem direbi nasim. V'Rebbe Matir B'Yud Gimel. Rebbe says that you could even have up to 13 nails in this sandal hanota. Okay, so the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Bishlam al-Rabbi Chanina hu da'amak Rabbi Nasan. So we'll say, Rabbi Chanina in the previous Gemara, so I understand, he said Sheva, he could hold like Rabbi Nasan, El Rabbi Yochanan da'amak Kiman. But who does Rabbi Yochanan hold like? Because remember, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who said, Chamish Bazeh, hu da'amak Rabbi Noroi. He says like Rabbi Noroi. Desanya, Rabbi Noroi Omer, Hey Mutter, Sheva Oser. Rabbi Noroi says 5 nails is mutter, 7 nails is aser. So Rabbi Noroi apparently feels that up to anything less than up to 5 nails is not called sandal hamasumar. But again, once you get this more than 5 nails, we'll see even 6 or 7. The reason he doesn't say 6, by the way, is because it was usually an odd number of nails. What was the odd number of nails? Because again, right, you always had equal numbers on the side. You always had one to tie the straps. Amar le'Eifa, Se'Eifa said to Rabba Bar Rachano, Asun, so we'll say, again, you have to understand, this sounds like a strange conversation to us, but this was obviously very important to them, because people had nails in their sandals, and they were trying to figure out you can't just say any type of nailed sandal was that, because people were wearing this all the time, so therefore they had to understand what type of sandal did the Gzeira apply to or not. So Gemara says the following, and we'll say, also understand something. You know, you think to yourself, well, just buy a new pair of shoes for Shabbos. It's not so poshut, right? We're very spoiled. We're very, very spoiled. Meaning, again, even if you live a modest life, you still have 2 pairs of shoes, right? Yeah, understand, you know, just so you understand, unless you think there's times in the Gemara, there's a beautiful book called The Rosh Yeshiva Remembers. It's a biography of Rav Shach, the Rosh Yeshiva Panavish Tehis Adik Lebracha. And Rav Shach writes in there something amazing. He says that he had one shirt. When he was a Baruch Yeshiva, he had one shirt. One shirt. So what would he do? On Thursday nights, he would go up to the roof of the yeshiva. This is in part of it in Europe. He'd go up to the roof of the yeshiva. He would wash his shirt, the Kavod Shabbos. But he wasn't going to go down into the Beis Medrash in his tzitzis. So what would he do? He would wait on top of the roof until the shirt dried. And sometimes he had a coat, and sometimes he didn't have a coat. And if he didn't have a coat, what did he do? He was cold. He was cold. It just seemed like it is such a dramatic. We don't have this. We don't have this. We can't relate to this because again, just our level of being pampered, and it's a good thing. Baruch Hashem is just so dramatically different. But you have to understand, this is a very important conversation because people have to figure out: can I wear my shoes or can't I wear my shoes? Why don't Chazal just say all nailed shoes are usher? You can't do that because what are the ramifications of that on the populace? So on one hand, again, Chazal are nervous about allowing the sandal hamasumar because we saw the tragic events that happened as a result of the sandal hamasumar. But lest you think this is playing, it's not playing games. So it's easy for Chazal to say you should never wear the sandal hamasumar. What does that do to the general populace? You can't just say you can never wear a sandal hamasumar. So we're going to limit it to certain times. Not only limit it to certain times, we're going to limit it to certain shoes. Because halacha lemaisa, it's a sensitivity of Chazal. We have to be careful. We need to aser it because of the tragic events that happened. But we have to be careful what we aser, because whatever we aser has incredible impact on the general populace. So the Gemara is trying to figure out what is it that's aser, what is it that's not aser. So weiter. So I'm going to for the Rabbi Rechano. So Eifa said to Rabbi Abrachano, you who are Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, you paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, right? Rabbi Yochanan allowed for 5 nails. We are Talmidim of Rabbi Chanina, right? We'll pass like Rabbi Chanina. Fine. Ba'aminei Rav Huna me Rav Ashi. So Rav Huna asked like Hashem Ashi. Chomishmau, what is the halacha with 5 nails? What is the halacha? Is 5 nails okay? Amrlei, so he said to him, Afilu zayin mutter, even 7 nails is okay. Okay. Tess, mai, what about 9 nails? Amrlei, Afilu ches aser. He said, no, even 8 is aser. Right? If 8 is aser, of course, again, 9 will be aser as well. Bo'u mineahu, ratsana merbi ami. So we'll say, now we get the tachlis. The shoemaker, right? So the shoemaker, can you imagine the shoemakers? The shoemaker union got together after this gzera, right? This is not so precious for the shoemakers. So the shoemaker comes to Rabbi Ami and they ask Rabbi Ami the following question. Tafru mi bifnim mahu. So I guess this is mamish like the first Rockport, right? So they ask the kasha, what happens if we take like a shoe mold and attach it into the inside of the sandal hamasumar, right? Because remember, the sandal hamasumar essentially is a clog. Is a cloud. What the shoemaker is really asking over here from Rabbi Ami is, what happens if we take almost like the comfortable frame of a shoe and attach it into the clog?
He's saying basically, sew it.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to get to it. I got it. Right, so look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here something amazing. So Rashi says, Rashi says, Tafrumi bifnim, shanasan, listen to this, shanasan min ol shel or lifnim min asando. So you're taking like the leather frame of the shoe, and what are you doing? You're tying it, you're sewing it. Lifnim min asando, you're tying it to the inside of the sandal. So what he's really asking is, what is he really asking? If I dramatically vary, if I dramatically change the sandal, does the prohibition of sandal hamasumer still apply to this? So he says, so tafru mibifnamau. So also, this is actually very interesting. So remember, the shoemaker is coming to Rabbi Am, he's asking this shayla. Amarle, mutter velo yedana, my taima. So Rabbi Ami says, I know that it's mutter, but I don't know why. Now, what does that mean? What Rabbi Ami is saying is, I heard this from my Rebbe, that such a concoction would be mutter, but I don't remember what the logic was. So he's giving, I know that it's mutter, I don't know why. So Amar Ravashi, velo yoda mar mai taima. So Ravashi said, really? Rabbi Ami, you don't know what the reason is? It's very simple. Kevan de tafru mi bifnim, haveli min al. Because once you go ahead and attach that almost shoe-like piece to it, it's no longer a sandal. It's called the shoe. Be sandal gozer be rabbanon, be min al lo gozer be rabbanon. Chazal were only gozer on a sandal, they never were gozer on a shoe. So the reason it's mutter is why, this is a brand new animal, and therefore again, it's outside of the purview of the gzera. So we'll say again, more questions in terms of the details. Again, these sound mean for us, they sound irrelevant for us, but again, if you can imagine as this gzera comes out, the people are trying to figure out what shoes are subject to, what shoes, it's very, very lemaisa.
The gzera is basically symbolic.
Well, no, it's real.
I mean, it's real,
but it's...
The same issues exist even with the new version.
No, it's... I'll tell you like this. What it is, and this is the tension Chazal often have. By on one hand, they need a gzera that safeguards the interest of the public, but if the gzera is too expansive, then what happens? Then it just makes people's life totally, totally unlivable. So you have to have this almost like balance between, on one end, and we see this, by the way, right? When we know this, unfortunately, today, because it happens when there's a proliferation of chumras, so life, you can't draw the line, you don't know where to stop. So Chazal are trying to straddle this very narrow line. We're on one hand trying to go ahead and safeguard the needs of the public, so therefore we're going to limit it to the actual sandal hamasumer. Granted that some of these replicas may still pose the same type of danger, but Chazal still feel the need for the benefit of the public to limit their gzera to a certain point.
This discussion is happening long after the gzera. Right, this is now trying to understand.
No. This is as the gzera is unfolding. This is Chazal now have said you can't wear a sandal hamasumer on Shabbos. Shkoya. What does that mean? So now what's exciting about this, and this is really, I'm saying this could be like this is like reality Gemara. You know, so this is, we're standing over here. Chazal said you can't wear a sandal hamasumer, and we're trying to figure out what does that mean. So the shoemaker is coming forward. So what, does it apply to this shoe? Does it apply to that shoe? How many nails does the sandal hamasumer? So this is not 100 years or 500 years afterwards. This is mamish. The episode occurred. Chazal therefore said you can't wear sandal hamasumer. The first thing they say is when? Only on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Great. Now that we know the when, the question is the what. What does it apply? So Gemara is trying to figure out what does it apply to? Mamish in real time.
Could it be the danger piece, not necessarily the structure of it?
I'm sorry?
Meaning that it should be anything that has nails coming out of it, not necessarily...
So obviously, you can't do that. You can't do that because, again, that was very much the type of shoe they were. And so you're going to tell people, we have to reinvent shoe technology? Because, I mean, as Julian said before, the nails were also very important because, remember, on dirt or mud roads, you needed some kind of traction to be able to... So to say you can't wear shoes with nails, that wasn't going to happen. The most we're going to do is limit our gzera to a very specific construct. I'm sorry?
For over the people don't accept the gzera.
Right, that's another issue of the gzera shanatzibo yachalamut bo. Right, so that could also be... Although the Gemara, interestingly, never says that. But, yeah. All right, bye. The truth is, we'll see, actually, we'll get to the cleats discussions. Cleats are another issue, which is choresh, which is an issue of creating furrows, which is really why you can't... So here's the difference over here. Why is there no issue with choresh over here? Very simple, it's too narrow, right? Because you're talking about nails. The indentation they make in the ground is minuscule. Because it's minuscule, that would not be a violation of Harisha. Harisha has to be a hole that's at least big enough that it can be suitable for some kind of type of planting. The little indentation that a nail is going to make, is not Shabbosly significant.
They make these shoes that
aerating, they aerate the soil.
Right.
You're supposed to walk around them.
The aerators are still larger than what
you are.
That's not the plan.
Right. So, great. So I don't know about Gavla. I'm thinking cleats, let's say, would be problematic on Shabbos for this particular reason because they're larger. They make a larger hole. All right, Weiter, Weiter. I never thought something so much excitement. My wish out of all the sugyas. All right, good. Good. Weiter. So the Gemara is like this. Bo'imine, Rabbi Amar Bar Zavda, Rabbi Amar Bar Avina. So Rabbi Amar Bar Zavda asked the father Shabbos from Rabbi Amar Bar Avina. Asan kamin kalbus, mahu. So what happens if you make the shoe, like I make a sandal, kalbus? Now we'll say, what's kalbus? Take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi says, as it's Rashi aso, lemesaber kemin kalbus, shnei roshei chodin ukfufin v'noit shnei roshem be'eitz. So we'll say, you should have a picture in your Gemara. You have a picture of like a half moon there on your side? That's kalbus. Kalbus means you bend the nail, and you bang both, because remember, when we think about a nail, you think about it like we have a nail where one side is blunt and one side is sharp. That's not what they're talking about over here. Here, actually, both sides were sharp. So if you imagine, if you were able to bend it, you would if you bend it, and then you hammer the middle, you're able to hammer both sides in. So you get two nails for one. So the house, Gemara's asking, does... If you were to make, get very choked up with sandal hamasumer. So the Gemara says, if you were to make a sandal hamasumer kalbus, right? Is that usur or not? Now, here's one thing we know for sure, which is that certainly was not the normal way they made a sandal hamasumer. The way they made a normal sandal hamasumer is that you took a nail straight and you banged it through. It went through the leather, it went through the wood, and it still extended outside of the wood as well. But the shaila is, does it apply kamin kalbus? So the Gemara says the following. He said it's mutter. For the simple reason of why is it mutter, Rabbi Osai? Because halacha lemaisa, hoil v'nishtane mishar mismarim d'lo gozer el meina ma'ora. Because we keep going back to the same answer, that the gzeira of sandal hamasumer really only applies to the type of sandal that they were wearing at the time of this episode. And therefore, again, it does not. This is enough of a variation, therefore it doesn't apply. It's Maranami Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Rabbi Chanina, Asokim in Kalbos Mutter. So to the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, if you made the sandal like a kalbos, it's Mutter. Amar Rav Sheshes, Chipau Kulam B'Mismoros, Kedesh Lo Te Karka Ochlaso Mutter. So once I listen to this, it's even more wild. So Rav Sheshes says, let's say you covered the entire bottom of the shoe with nails. Entire bottom of the shoes. Now, why did you do that? Because you want to keep the wood base off of the ground. Why? In order to preserve it. Because obviously, as the wood keeps on walking on the moisture of the ground, the wood will erode. So what happens if you make the whole bottom of the shoe nails? It's mutter. And I will say, it sounds counterintuitive, because ein sandal mesumer gedola mizu, right? It's filled with nails, but the answer is that Chazal only limited their gzera to the actual type of sandal hamasumer that they were wearing at the time of this particular episode. Therefore, this is really an outlier sandal. This is not the normal sandal, and therefore it's not covered by the gzera. Tanya kavase de Rav Sheshes. We have a brisa that supports Rav Sheshes. Lo yetzi ha'ish b'sandal hamasumer. A person should not go out on Shabbos with a sandal hamasuyer. V'lo yitayel mi bayis lebayis. Not only that, but he should not even wear it from house to house. Afilu, mimita lamita, even from bed to bed, Rabbos, which is another way of saying, you shouldn't even wear sandal hamasumer indoors. It's muktzah, totally muktzah. Okay, aval, metaltlin oso, lechasos bo esakli, velismoch bo kari hamita. But what can you do? You can carry it in order to use it to cover a kli, or you could go ahead and use it to prop up a bed. Or in other words, Rabbi said, even though it's muktzah, if you find a permitted, you can't wear it, but what? If you find a permitted usage for it, you're permitted to use it in this permitted fashion. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Oser. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon says, it's Oser, meaning totally muktzah, you can't even use it for a permitted purpose. Noshru rov mesmarosav. If most of its nails fell out, v'nishtayer bo dalit ohe, mutter. So if most of its nails fell out, but there were still four or five nails left in it, then mutter, then you're permitted to go ahead and wear it on Shabbos. Rashi points out, Horil b'nishtana mikamo shaya d'me'ina ma'ora gazru. Because now, since it's fundamentally changed, it's no longer really a sandal. I'm assuming you could wear it. B'Rebbe matir ad sheva. And Rebbe says that even if there are up to seven nails left in it, it's still mutter. Chipol b'or milamato, v'kavul bo mesmoros milamalo, mutter. If you covered it with a piece of leather on the bottom and established the nails on top of it, it's mutter. Asol kamin kalbus, if you made it like a kalbus, which we saw before, that's making like a staple. O kamin tas, or you made it like a tas. Tas means, we'll see later on in the Gemara, tas means literally like a sheet. O kamin yosid, or you made it like spikes. These are all just different variations. O shechipo kulam b'mismoros, or you cover the whole bottom of the shoe with nails. Kadesh shalote karka ochloso, in order that the karka will not go ahead, the earth will not erode the base, the sole of the shoe. Mutter. Then it's mutter. The Gemara says, that's the end of the Braisa. The Gemara says, hakuf akasha, but it's an inherent contradiction. Amrit nishru rov masmorosov, af agav dinishtayir betuva, v'hadir tani arba ochamish in, tfeilo. So the Gemara says, there seems to be an inherent contradiction. On one hand, the Braisa says that if the shoe had a lot of nails in it, but if the majority of the nails fell out, then what? You could wear it on Shabbos. Which sounds like what Rabbi was saying, that as long as the majority of the nails fell out, even if there are still a lot of nails left in the shoe, you could wear that on Shabbos. But then later on in the Braisa says that if it has four or five nails, that's fine. But more than that, no. So which one is it? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshes Lo Kashya, Kan Shenigmemu, Kan Sheneekru. Oh, the Gemara says it depends. Look at Rashi. Shenigmemu, Milamalo, Urishumo Nikar Besocha Eitz, Afilu Tuva, Daha Minkar She'eno Kibriyaso. So Rabbi Osai, when the nails have become worn down, right, then halacha lemaisa, you could wear the shoes even if there are many nails left, as long as the majority of nails have worn down. Why? Because then it's clear that the shoe has fundamentally changed and lost its status as a sandal hamasumer. Shkan shenekru, Rashi says, legamre, she'ein nikar shahoyo bo yoser dalerohe, tfe lo. So Gemara says, however, if the nails have been fundamentally removed, then the issue is you cannot necessarily ever tell that there was an actual nail there, and therefore halacha lemaisa, only four or five nails is okay, but more than that will look like an actual sandal hamasumer. Fine. Arba o chamesh mutter. So now the Gemara quotes the Braisa, four or five nails is mutter. Hashta chamesh shari, arba mi boy. So I understand, if five are mutter, then of course four will be mutter as well. Amarat chista, arba mi sandal katan, v'chamesh mi sandal gadol. So Rav Chista says, talking about different kind of sandalim. So right, four is talking about a small sandal, five is talking about a large sandal. The Rebbe matir ad sheva, and Rebbe says you can have up to seven nails in the sandal, and it's not called the sandal hamasumer. V'atanya Rebbe matir ad shlosh esrei. But Rebbe said that halacha lemaisa, you can go ahead and have until three, to which the Gemara says, note the shiny. 13, excuse me, 13. So the Gemara says, note the shiny. Rashi says, Shekulan tzrichon ol v'hashol sayin echad me'an l'chazek. So the Gemara says, no. When Rebbe said you can have until 13, what was he talking about? An uneven sole. So in the case of an uneven sole where it's clear that haloch lemaisa, the reason the nails are there is in order to go ahead and balance out the sole, that's outside of the gzeir of sandal hamasumer to begin with. So the Gemara says, hashtad the osis lahochi, now that you've said that you can even have a lot of nails in order to even out the sole of the sandal, the Rabbi Yochanan nami lokasha, then you can answer this question. Remember the Gemara beforehand posed the question to Rabbi Yochanan. You can answer this for Rabbi Yochanan also. Note the shiny, that an uneven sole is different, that you could put a lot of nails in the bottom of the sandal to even out the sole. Amarav masna v'amri lei, v'amri la, amarav achtaboy bar masna, amarav masna, ein halacha k'rabalaza ben Shimon. So the halacha does not follow Blazer Rav Shimon. I will say, what was that machlokis before? So remember again in the Braisa, there was a machlokis in the Tanakama and Rav Blazer Rav Shimon in terms of whether or not you could use a sandal hamasumer for some other purpose. Let's say my bed is uneven. Can I use the sandal hamasumer to even out my bed? Or can I use it to go ahead and serve as a stopper on top of my cleat? Tanakama said yes. Rav Blazer said yes. Rav Blazer Rav Shimon said it's osir. So now comes along the Gemara and says, Rav says that the halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, meaning that the halacha is like the Rabbanon, that you can use the sandal, although you can't wear the sandal hamasumer, you can use it for some other permitted purpose, prop up the bed, cover the kli. So Gemara says, that's obvious. Yochid v'rabim halacha kirabim. Rav says, whenever you have a machlokas between the individual and the rabbim and the group, the halacha always follows the majority. So the machlokas between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, of course the halacha is going to follow the Chachamim, the Rabbanon. So Gemara says, now the tema, what would I have thought? Mistabra time of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon Baha. I might have thought that Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon's logic was more mistaber. Right? Rashi says, Mistabra time of the Asla Tata Shemin Alu. What is Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon's concern? That if we allow you to move the sandal hamasumer, you're going to come to what? You're going to come to wear it. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says, listen, if you don't want people to wear sandal hamasumer, the only way to guarantee that is what? Is make it totally mukta. You can't use it for anything, even for a permitted purpose. I might have thought, that's pretty sound reasoning. And maybe with such sound reasoning, the halacha should in fact follow Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. So therefore, the Gemara says the following, Kamash Malon, right? Kamash Malon, that's not the case, that even though his logic is sound, the halacha still follows the majority of the Rabbanon. Amr Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya says the following. Listen to this. Ihlav de karule bavloi shari isure sharina bahu tuva. Right? So interestingly enough, so Rabbi Chiya said, if they would not call me the permitting Babylonian, right? Or I should say, the Babylonian who permits forbidden things, I would allow people to wear shoes even with a lot of nails. Vikama. So vikama, and how many? The Pumpadisa Amrin Esrin Va'arba. In Pumpadisa, they wanted to say that Rabbi Chiya would have allowed for 24 nails. Bisura Amrin, and in Surah they said, Esrin V'tarta, meaning there was a machlokis in Pumpadisa and Surah, the two yeshivas in Babel, how many nails would Rabbi Chiya have allowed? How many nails would he have allowed? Alright, so the Gemara says, in Pumpadisa they said 24, Surah they said 22. Amr Abnachem Bar Yitzchak, and Abnachem Bar Yitzchak says, if you want to remember how do you remember who said what? Listen to this. V'simonich ad asami pumpadis l'sura chaser tarti. That from the time that it walks from Surah to Pumpadisa, you would end up wearing down two nails of your sandal. Right? So that's the simon for remembering that in Surah, again, in Pumpadisa, they said Rabbi Chiya would have allowed for 24, and in Surah would have allowed for 22. All right, so we're not finished with this sugya yet.
Split hairs, split nails.
Yeah. Bye-bye.